So, do you talk to God? Do you talk with God? When you're in Jerusalem, that works. Does he answer you in the same meaningful way, in some meaningful way? You know, we normally use the term pray to refer to talking with or to God. But if you pray, do you say some memorized, short prayer? Does it make any difference to God if we pray or how we pray? The title of the day is Better Prayers, Inspiring Answers. So before services, I asked Kevin and Ethan and Henry to help me out a little bit. So we're going to listen to two imaginary conversations because, you see, they want to get things out of their dad. They really want to persuade their dad to give them certain things, okay? So how can we, you know, talk to dad in the best way so that he'll be more inclined to help us out? So this is sort of imaginary, okay? So, and I'm going to ask you afterwards which one is more likely to get a positive response from dad. So the first one, first one. Dad, I don't feel good. Why do I have to clean up my room? You know, it's too hard for me. Do you know Johnny called me a name at school, but I socked him in the mouth for that. Guess he'll think twice before messing with me, huh? Yeah, I really would like a car. Well, gotta go. I need that car real quick. Bye. Number two. Dear Dad, I really appreciate all the hard work you do to support Mom and the rest of us. You really are smart to be able to build the things you do. The artistry, design, and color is just amazing. I want to help you do your work. Would you teach me how I could be more like you? You know, I have been helping Mom clean the house, and you can see I've been mowing the yard and keeping my room neat. But, Dad, I have a request for you. I hope you'll help me on this. I would like to get a job this summer and start saving to go to college, but I need a car to get to work, and I don't have the money yet to buy one. So if you would help me buy a car, I would really appreciate it. And, you know, I would also be able to help Mom do errands like grocery shopping and things like that. Well, I need to get back to my schoolwork, but please think about my request. I know you'll help me work things out for the best for the whole family. I love you, Dad. Okay, so Henry, Kevin, Ethan, anybody want to say, which one was better, number one or number two? Number two. Well, I think so as well. I think so as well. Number two. Well, what was good about it? Can you give me one thing that was good about it? Okay, if you can't, I'll ask somebody else. Okay, anybody else want to say, what was good about number two? Uh-oh, there's somebody popping up. Okay. What was good about it? Oh, he was kindly asking. He didn't ask for a credit card, though. That's important. Okay, well, thank you. Anything else that was good? Anybody else want to pop up? Elise, you got an idea? Silas? No? Okay, Sammy, what'd you say?
I love you, Dad.
I like that. Yeah, that was really good. You explained to Dad that you love him. That's really good. So, when we talk with God our Father, who do we most resemble? Number one or number two? What was good about number two? We heard some things from the kids, and that's good. I think several things, you know, respectful, endearing opening, dear Dad. Expressed appreciation for Dad's work and abilities. Identified with Father, let me be more like you. The person, number two, was saying, showed he was working also at something according to his abilities, like cleaning up the room, mowing the yard. And he showed foresight for a good project. You know, I want to get a job, but I need a car, but I don't have the money quite yet. Explained a real need if the project would be successful. Can't really get to the job if I don't have the car. And he committed to using the car to help others as well. Thought that was good. He expressed confidence in the Father that a final solution that would be worked out would be the best one, and he expressed love. I think that's really simply a good way to get what you want from Dad. So today, let's talk about better prayers. Why do we need to pray? Why pray for other people? What attitude should we have prior to praying? And how to ensure God will seriously consider our prayers? So I'm going to discuss some of those things, and I have three stories about answered prayer for me, and I'm sure you all have stories about answered prayer for you as well. So first, why do we need to pray? Well, we pray because God loves you, and he wants you to talk with him. Also, through prayer, we build qualities that are essential to a successful future as God beings. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. God wants to talk with you, and by prayer and through prayer, we build qualities that are useful and will be helpful for us as eternal spirit beings. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul here says, be anxious for nothing, don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, let your requests be made known to God, but through prayer and supplication. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of Greek, not a whole lot, but the word, first word for prayer there is prosuke, Strong's 43:35. And this means words of a sacred character. It's the most common word used in the New Testament. It means you're pouring out your heart to God. You're talking about day-to-day issues. You know that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing? Well, that uses that word prosuko, or prosukomei, variations of it. So it's, you know, just your common word of talking with God. Okay? So Paul says, through talking with God and supplication. Well, that's a different type of prayer. And where does that come from? Well, that comes from the word, Greek word, desis, Strong's 1162. And it means supplication for a personal need, beseeching God continually about one matter. Usually includes fasting for a time. Just to give you one example, briefly, I'm going to hold my finger back here in Philippians because I'm going to finish the verses, but back in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, we have an example of desis, or supplication, this word, Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. I'll get there. Okay, and it says here the angel was talking to Zacharias. He was a priest. He was performing his function in the temple. And the angel said, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, your desis, your supplication. He was supplicating God about what? Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So he was an old man. His wife was an elderly woman. They had no children, but they were beseeching God, please, may we have a child, may we have a child. And God chose, in this case, to say yes and gave them a son whom we know as John the Baptist. But he was supplicating God. This was an example of desis. Going back quickly to Philippians 4, it says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried. But in everything, God doesn't limit. Say, well, you can talk about this, but I don't want you to talk about that. And everything by prosukomei, normal talking, and supplications with thanksgiving. Always be thankful, like when we were talking, you know, to Dad earlier. You're thankful for what Dad can do. You express appreciation. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So this is one result of prayer, pouring out your heart to God, peace. Peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's an essential quality. Don't people today want peace? People are always nervous, they're upset, they're anxious. Pour out your heart to God, and peace is going to be one result. So let's go back to Luke 18 now. Luke 18, verse 1. We'll come back to Luke 18 again later in the presentation, but here we just take a few verses. Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. So here Jesus is explaining Continue to pray. Jesus wants us to pray and not lose heart. Verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? It seems like he bears long and long with us, you know, because we are tend to be impatient. God has a different view of time and how things are going. He bears long with us from time to time. But Jesus says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will Jesus, when he comes, will he really find faith? You see, there's a connection between prayer and faith. And through prayer, we can prove God hears us and fulfills promises. So faith is really one of those essential qualities for a successful eternal life. Persistence is as well. Don't faint. Persistence is an essential quality that is built by prayer. Turn back with me to Psalm 37. So when I came in the church as a teenager, and I read the Bible, and I remember when I started reading Psalm 37, I thought, well, I believe this, so I'm going to ask God for some things. But let's read just a few verses. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So faith and works. Okay, remember we are and people. You know, we're not or people. We're not but people. You know, it's faith and works. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And I read that. I thought, really? And so back then, desires of my heart were mostly, I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. And so there were things in my heart that, well, I'd like to go do a safari in Africa, you know, East Africa. And I'd like to go to Lake Louise in the Canadian Rockies, you know, and things like that. It was in my mind. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. In other words, act. Take responsible action and trust and faith. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. So I read that. And we can see that patience is another essential quality built by prayer. And I prayed about it. Well, let me give you a story. So as a young man, like I said, I wanted to go on a safari to Africa. Now, my father had worked for Transworld Airlines all his life, after he got out of the Army. But I never flew to Kenya on TWA. So I had this desire. So then God called me into the Church of God, and I went to Ambassador College in Pasadena, California, and then I was able to, with God's help, pass the Foreign Service test and came to Washington in January of 1977 and joined the U.S. Foreign Service. And so my first post was in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and of course the family, they thought, oh, you're going to Haiti, that's wonderful. They thought, Tahiti, you know, I said, no. Yeah, I'm going to Haiti. Oh, so, but that was an interesting 2 years, very interesting 2 years there. And then after that, we were assigned to Cameroon. Now, Cameroon is like next door to Nigeria and that, you know, where Africa comes around and takes that sharp turn and goes south. And, you know, my wife and I, we had chosen to go to places where there was a need to serve God's people so we could serve, you know, where ministers couldn't go for visa or financial reasons. We wanted to go and serve God's people. So we went to Haiti. We also went to Cameroon. So while we were there, the State Department decided to have a conference in Nairobi. So I said, fine. So I arranged. I was going to take my wife and my son, Ray, at the time. And so we flew to Nairobi. We had our conference. And then we decided we're going to stay afterwards. And so I met with the minister of the church there. And he arranged for us to drive down to Amboseli Park. Now, if you've ever been to Nairobi, it's great. I mean, it's right on the tree line. It's right where, it's amazing. You know, there, there's a specific line where the rain doesn't come enough to grow trees on one side, it's just grass. And then after this line, the trees start growing. It's just really remarkable. And it's right there at Nairobi. And Nairobi National Park is right there by the city. And so I remember Owen Willis, he drove us out, and we were, you know, in the Land Rover, and when we were in the high grass, and we saw like three lions, you know, lined up. And they were looking at us, and they didn't pay any attention to us because they were used to, you know, people being in Jeeps and stuff like that. They were looking at, you know, lunch. And that was the zebras down the way. Okay, there was a herd of zebras. And there was three sentinels, three zebras. And they were just not eating. They were just looking at the lions. The lions were looking at them, you know. And it was just amazing, you know, how you could see that kind of tableau and say, well, how's this going to work? So the lions, you know, they were flicking their tails and stuff like that. And eventually we got, you know, bored because nothing was happening, so we moved on. But we drove down to Amboseli Park. Now, Amboseli Park is in the southern part of Kenya, and it's on a slope going down toward a big valley, and there are springs in the area. It's a very dry area, but then you go up on the other side of the valley is Mount Kilimanjaro, which just rises up and has the snow peaks on that. And we stayed in a little place called Old Tukai Lodge. And it was built for the filming of The Snows of Kilimanjaro by Gregory Peck in 1948. So that shows you how long it's been there. And so we got up in the morning, and, you know, and we'd see these storks just walking around. They're like 6 foot tall, just walking like this. They're looking for stuff to eat, right? And then there was these monkeys, and they would come in, and they would just reach their hands. Like, anything today, sir? Anything today, sir? No, get away, get away. You know? Fortunately, they didn't come in through the windows, you know. And then, you know, people started saying, lions, lions. So we went outside. And about maybe 50 yards away, there was a pride of lions who were just, you know, like cats, just because they'd killed an animal and they'd eaten it, and their bellies were full, and people were starting to want to go, let's go ahead and let's take pictures. So like, no, stay away. But we could look down in the valley toward the springs, and we saw, it was like the Garden of Eden. We saw a herd of giraffe, and they were all just marching in toward the water. And over here, there was a group of wildebeest that were coming in. Ostriches would come in one by one, and you'd see elephants, and they would come another way. You'd see all these different animals. And, you know, we stayed there a couple days, and we drove around. I'm getting into too much detail, but, you know, we drove around, and I remember one time we saw this elephant. He just crossed the road out of a spring, so we said, okay, we'll wait a little bit. And we drove up, and he had just gone out of the way, so we couldn't see him. And, you know, you never want to surprise an elephant by getting too close to his backside. They really get angry about that. So he started stomping, started trumpeting. And so I said, oh, let's get out of here, you know. So he pressed the gas, flooded it, and killed it. I remember going, So this elephant, he's trying to turn around because there's thorn bushes, right? And he's trumpeting, and he's flapping his wings, and he's going to stomp us. So trying to start that car. Finally, just before the elephant got turned around, vroom, we got out of there. But you see, it took years before that desire of my heart happened. God brought it to pass. It was a marvelous, marvelous experience for me. So I wanted to share that. It came to pass, and I know God hears our prayers. But we have to do our part, and we have to be patient. Let me give you another story. And I asked Leif if I could discuss this. This is a story about my son-in-law, Leif Kareliason, who's here today. He was diagnosed with cancer about 12 years ago. And at the time, his wife, you know, my daughter Jennifer, she was pregnant with their first child, Evie. It was apparently a fast-moving cancer, malignant cancer. And the question was, would Leif survive to the birth of the child? We didn't know. So we anointed him. We prayed for him. He had to go in. He was diagnosed, I think it was Friday. And then he had to go in on Monday for the operation. And if the operation was successful, well, would he have to have radiation, chemotherapy? Would he be able to have any more children? The operation happened, and the doctor said, well, you're young. Let's see how it goes before we try any radiation or chemotherapy or whatever. You know, Leif chooses good nutrition, good exercise, and he's been cancer-free for many years now. He's had two more children as well. So So God blessed Leif and our whole family in responding to many people's fervent prayers. We know he hears. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We see here in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has great zeal or great concern for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. We see that Epaphras labored in prayer, and that word for prayer is prosuko, prosukomai, so that others would be perfect or mature and complete, fully assured, full of faith. He wanted all the brethren in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis to have mature, godly love. That's built through prayer. We need to be praying for other people. We need to be praying for other people. It's how one way we can show godly love, by laying down our lives. John 15:13, for other people in prayer. Let's go back to Matthew 5, Matthew 5 verse 43. Matthew 5 and verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Again, that's the prosuko, or prosuko, a form of prosukomai. Pray for your enemies who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to shine on the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Again, perfection, spiritual maturity, this is what we are growing in. And we have to use prayer, even in praying for those who are against us for some reason, those who hate us, those who don't like us. God says we need to pray for them, because if we don't, if we're just out to get vengeance, how are we any different than people in the world, than the tax collectors? So again, we're asking, why pray? And when you pray, what do you talk about? Well, there's so many things to talk about. Let me just give you two examples. Luke 21, Luke 21 and verse 36. Luke 21 and verse 36. What do you talk about when you talk to God? Well, one of the things that I talk about is this. It says, watch therefore and pray always. Now, that word pray is not prosukao, it's diomai. And diomai, Strong's 1189, means to beseech God with real want. It's different from just talking. It means like, I really want this, God. I'm really concerned about this, okay? So watch therefore and beseech God with real want always, that you may be counted worthy or have the strength to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, escape, I looked it up this morning. Does that really mean escape? Yes, it does. It means to flee, get away, to escape. Strong 16:28. I pray that every day for me and my family, that we would be found with the strength of God, that we could escape the tribulation and the day of the Lord. I ask God about this. I think it's okay to ask God about it. It's what I do. Luke 10, how about something else that we can pray about? Again, there's so many things to pray about. Luke 10, what do you talk to God about? This is another thing I talk to God about. Luke 10, I'll start in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, sent them two by two, before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And this is a form of diomai, dititi, So beseech God with real want. Why do we need more laborers into the harvest? Because if with more laborers, we can bring salvation to more people. There's more people who can interact with people, and because a lot of people come into the church of God because of personal relationships. And so with more people, there's more possibility for personal relationships. Also, we can take better care of those who are already here. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have so many more people, like, oh, who can I choose? Well, I'll choose Sarah Greider. If we had a few more of her, you know, we could take care of people as she already does. Now, we all have our gifts and our talents. So, you know, if I start talking about her, I'll have to talk about other people and the different things too. But I'm just saying we are all needed. We have different talents. Each one of you was chosen by God to be here. We are all, what do they call it, ligaments, joints. We connect one to another. We connect. And all those connections are important. So they're valuable. You are important and valuable. We need to exercise our talents so that we can help the body to grow in love. So that's one thing I pray about. I pray about for more laborers of different kinds in the harvest. Did you know when you pray, you can change God's mind? Let's go back to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. The Israelites were supposed to be an example of living God's way so that it would be something that could teach the nations. Well, they definitely were an example, but they turned out to be an example of what not to do in so many ways. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. This is one of the times the Israelites were doing their stubborn, hard-headed, rebellious thing. Numbers 14, verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I performed among them?" And I tend to talk about this when people say, "I'd really like to see a miracle from God." Oh, you would. You receive a miracle from God, you incur greater responsibility before God. The Israelites, they saw at least 10 different great miracles from God, said, "Look, these 10 times I've showed them my power, and they still don't believe me. So this generation, I've had it with them, they're going to die in the wilderness." So you want a miracle from God? That's fine. Just know you incur a greater responsibility to obey God, follow God, be faithful if God does choose to do that for you. So God showed them all these signs. God said, "Look, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." And I often say, what if Moses would have said, "You know what? I don't like them either. Go ahead, kill them." What if he said that? A lot of people wouldn't be here today, put it that way. But fortunately, Moses didn't act that way. Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. And they have heard that you, Lord, are among the people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face. And your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, 'Oh, well, because Yahweh, the Lord, was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.' And now I pray." Now, it's interesting. This word is na or nay. It can mean pray, but it's sort of like an interjection. It's like a please. It's not a usual form of prayer. It's like, "Now, please. You have spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. By no means clears the guilty.' So please," he says, "pardon this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy." Verse 20, the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the world shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, have put me to the test now these 10 times and haven't heeded my voice, they shall not see the land." So Moses prayed, and he changed God's mind. God was ready to kill them. Moses changed his mind. So through prayer, salvation, physical salvation, was obtained for many. So why pray for other people? Well, very quickly, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Very famous verse, 1 Peter 2, 9. It's part of our job description. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Well, what do priests do? And when I say priesthood, it means our children as well. Henry, Ethan, yeah, Kevin, our kids. They are to be helping in prayer because God hears the prayers of children in a special way. God hears the prayers of widows and widowers in a special way. It's not that he doesn't, you know, pay attention to us as well. I mean, he does. But he cares in a special way towards those whom the world might think, well, they're weak, or, you know, what use are they? They're too young to do anything, or they're too old to do anything. God cares. He listens. He listens. We are a royal priesthood. And what do priests do? Well, let's go quickly back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll see what our high priest, Jesus Christ, who's our captain of our salvation, what does he do? Hebrews 4, starting in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we're supposed to go to God's throne, God's, you know, mercy seat, and pray for others, help others. Chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices. What's one of the sacrifices we do? Yes, the sacrifice of praise, but also the sacrifice of our time in prayer for other people. He offers both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Verse 7. Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, again, prayers, desis, that intense form, I need help, Father, and supplications, this is entreaties, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Remember, Jesus prayed for Peter, since Satan wanted to sift him like wheat. Jesus prayed for people, he entreated for people. We need to do that as well. Like I said, it's just encouraging to me that last night when we sent out that prayer request for Hunter, almost immediately his blood pressure went down. Why do we pray for other people? Well, there's also personal interest. You pray for others so your personal prayers will be heard. 1 Peter 3, just over a few pages, verse 7. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as unto the physically weaker. I always put that in because when they say weaker vessel, wives are not weaker mentally, you know, or in that kind of way. They're physically weaker. They tend to be smaller, tend to be weaker that way. But give honor to the wives as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Your prosukamei will not be hindered. So if husbands, if we're not treating our wives properly with respect and honor, our prayers, God will say, well, I don't know if I'm going to listen to you today. You know, you're not being a very nice guy toward your wife. Our prayers can be hindered. That's not good. So I have a personal interest in being as good a husband as I can be. I don't know. How about Job? Personal interest, Job 42. We pray for others. Job had a personal interest in praying for others as well. Yeah, I won't go through the whole story of Job, but, you know, Job, after he talked with God, and God talked to him and said, who are you, by the way? You know, we should have the attitude, who am I, compared to God? And Job got a little bit beyond that, so God had to remind him by saying, well, Job, who are you? And once Job got the point, you know, God told Job, verse 8, he told the friends of Job, you know, my wrath is aroused against you, these three friends. You have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your foolishness. because you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, they went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. What if Job said, you know, I'm still mad at these guys. You know, they didn't help me when I really needed it. Would God have restored Job's losses? I think not. I think not. But it's when Job said, I'm going to pray for my friends, even though they didn't treat me right in my hour of need, God honored that, and God restored him, the friends who had treated him badly. We pray for others also because it gives an understanding of God's mercy. Prayer is very powerful, and we don't know at what point when our prayers will make a huge, huge difference in someone's life. Let's go to number 16. Number 16, verse 41. Number 16, 41. Again, the Israelites were doing their Israelite thing and complaining and rebelling and murmuring. Number 16, 41, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from among this congregation, that I can consume them in a moment. So again, another time, get ready to kill them all. So they fell on their faces. They didn't get away. They stayed there for the people. Moses told Aaron, take a censer, put fire in it from the altar, and put incense on it. Take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense, and he made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Over 14,000 people died that day. What if Aaron had said, I don't know, I'm not really feeling it today, Moses. You know, I had a rough night. You know, maybe I can pray for them tomorrow. Do we ever do that in our prayers to God? I'm not feeling it today. How do you know if your prayer will make the difference between someone you love living or dying? How do you know that your prayer will make the difference between getting well and someone continuing to suffer in pain? How do you know? The answer is we don't. But we see a case here where prayer stood between the dead and the living. It's so important. It's so important. Let's go back to Exodus 30. A few verses really quick. Exodus 30. Again, there's so much we could talk about in prayer. But I want to talk about the fact that God wants to hear from you in detail. Remember the opening, you know, where, you know, the young men there, they helped me decide number two was better. One thing about number two that was better is that there was more details. More details. So Exodus 30, verse 35. Exodus 30, verse 35. Talking here about the incense. It says, make a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And then putting in equal amounts of frankincense and other things that's listed up in 34. You beat it very fine. You beat some of it very fine. Put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting where I will go to meet with you. It should be most holy. So this is incense. Now we're going to see the incense is a symbol of prayer. So what we see in the incense, various topics were put together. It was beaten fine, and then it was went to the throne of God, the testimony. That's where the mercy seat was. The Ten Commandments is the testimony. So it was to be brought there. Leviticus 16. So again, the idea is that you pray in detail. Leviticus 16 and verse 12. Leviticus 16, verse 12. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that's on the testimony, lest he die. Another example. If you don't have prayer, you could die. And if the priest didn't do things right, he would die. And this is talking about the Day of Atonement. But incense beaten fine, talking about details. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. See, the Bible explains its symbols. And the incense we're talking about, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, symbolizes prayer. And you pray in detail, just as the incense was beaten fine. Because God wants to hear your prayers, your thoughts, in detail. Again, we were talking about prayer giving understanding of mercy. I think if we go to Luke 23 very quickly, we see that Jesus Christ on the cross. Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus prayed for people. He showed mercy in prayer. And we need to also show mercy when people treat us wrong, when they do things badly toward us. We need to have the same kind of mercy and be forgiving toward them as Jesus Christ showed those who were killing him. And you know what? It can be a sin if we don't pray for others. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 12, the Israelites were, again, doing the Israelite thing. They were rebelling against God. They didn't want God as king. They wanted a human king. And Samuel was saying, no, 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 don't do this. And God said, after a while, you know, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me. So Samuel went back to the people. 1 Samuel 12, we'll start in verse 19. We'll start in verse 18. Samuel called on the Lord. Well, wait a minute, go back. Verse 17, 1 Samuel 12, verse 17. Is today not the wheat harvest around Pentecost? I will call to the Lord. He will send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great for what you have done in the sight of the Lord and asking a king for yourselves. It was a sin. It was a bad thing to ask for a king because God was their king. So Samuel called to the Lord. The Lord sent thunder and rain that day. All the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. The people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil of asking of a king for ourselves. So Samuel said to the people, do not fear, you have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they're nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. They were committing sin and asking for a king. Samuel said, it would be a sin for me to stop praying for you. And you know, I won't turn there, but James 4:17 says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. We need to pray for other people. Otherwise, it can be sin for us. One verse about our attitude, Luke 18 again, Luke 18. I'll just summarize. This is that parable of the publican. Remember the publican, or you know, he went down and he was saying, you know, have mercy on me, God, I'm a sinner. But the Pharisee, oh, I fast twice a week, you know, I do this, I do that. And Jesus was comparing them, and he said, you know, that tax collector who was standing far off wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Our attitude, Jesus insists on humility and repentance, and he warns against the feeling of self-superiority. We are not to compare ourselves with other human beings. So what's another quick way can we know how to ensure God will seriously consider our prayers? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we have to ask according to the will of God. And that means we have to study God's word to know what his will is. Sometimes God hasn't really made his will plain. So that's why we have to ask God. We pray and we seek God's will. Let me just give you one more story. We were in Cameroon years ago, and it was in the springtime, and I was, praying, and of course I'm a planner, and I was planning months ahead because my third tithe year was coming up. And, that is the tithe that we set aside for the poor, if we are able to set it aside, and we felt we were quite prosperous enough there in Cameroon with the U.S. Embassy. But I had some debts. So I was thinking about it. I said, how am I going to do this? We had to buy a new car to get to Cameroon, and it was like $5,000 for that. And we'd had $3,000, because of just general buying stuff because we were moving to Africa. So what to do? So I thought and I thought, and I meditated about this for 3 hours, prayed about it. So I made a deal. I said, God, if you pay off the $5,000 debt, I think I will be able to pay down the $3,000 debt of moving, and then I could be ready to set aside money for the poor. So the very next day, I get called up to the ambassador's office and said, well, we have this issue. The vice consul down there in Douala, he just got on a plane and left. He got on a plane and left. Yeah, he just got on a plane and left. So we need someone to go down and cover for us for a couple weeks. I said, well, okay, why not? So, my wife and my son and I, we flew down to Douala, and 2 weeks turned into 6 months. Now, it was an interesting 6 months. If anyone's been aware of the federal government, you know that you get tax-free extra money if you're on temporary duty. So while in Douala, I was able to serve the church in Douala, and then in the afternoon we'd drive to Limbe, an hour away, and serve the church there. Once a month, the U.S. government, thank you very much for your tax, donations, they flew us up to Yaoundé, and we were able to see our house, and we had the dog up there too. We saw the dog, and we served the church in Yaoundé, and we drove to Makak, which is about 90 clicks in the jungle, and we served the church down there. For 6 months, we served all four congregations in Cameroon at U.S. government expense. And guess how much extra money I got after 6 months, TDY? $5,000. I'm sure God laughed. He said, what an idiot. Why didn't Ray ask for the whole $8,000? If I would have, I think he would have given it to me. God hears us. He hears our prayers. I know he does. One more verse, 1 John 3:22, same page. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So are we making Father smile, when we talk or act? Henry, do you make your dad smile? Does he look at you and say, wow, Henry, he said some interesting things today. Ethan, do you make your dad smile? Is God happy with us? Is Dad happy with us? Does God like watching us? Let's summarize. God wants us to communicate with him. He created this whole universe to be a place where he could raise a family, raise children. He wants to hear about your day, your hopes, your fears, your heartfelt desires. He wants detailed prayers, incense, beaten fine. He wants loving, respectful, even humorous types of prayer. God would like to hear from you at least 2 times a day. That's why we had those sacrifices in the morning and in the evening. But we also have the example of Daniel, the prophet, and others that showed us the example of 3 times a day prayer. But you can pray pretty much any time of the day as well. Your prayers can make the difference between life and death, between relief from pain and continued pain for those we love and pray for. Through prayer, we build qualities essential to our future as God beings: peace, persistence, patience, mature love. There is a connection between prayer and faith. Love is built through prayer. It is a priestly function that we have now and forever. We need to pray for others so our personal prayers will be heard. Prayer helps us understand God's mercy, and it can be a sin if we do not pray for others. Some conditions to having confidence God will seriously consider our prayers include humility and repentance, compassion and pity, a forgiving spirit, tenacity, which includes persistence and continuity, faith and expectant attitude, simplicity, lack of pretension, ask according to his will, obey his commands, and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Does God smile when he thinks about you? We can pray anytime, anywhere. The key is deep reverence and humility. Our prayers can change God's mind. What an honor that the Most High God will listen to us when we talk to him. Let's all fulfill our New Testament priestly function to pray for the nation and for one another with joy and confidence.